2 Chronicles chapter 30. Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah. Now, it says he wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh. So in those days, they were divided into two. There was Israel, the 10 tribes, and Judah, the 2 tribes. But Hezekiah invited everybody to come to the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to Yahweh, the God of Israel. So he was the God of all of them, but they were divided. But Hezekiah wanted them all to come, just as we should try to look for unity within the body of Jesus. For the king had taken advice with his princes and all the assembly in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the 2nd month. Now, you're supposed to keep the Passover, according to the law of Moses, in the 1st month. They couldn't keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves in sufficient number, neither had the people gathered themselves to Jerusalem. The thing was right in the eyes of the king and all the assembly. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Dan to Beersheba that they should come to keep the Passover to Yahweh, God of Israel, at Jerusalem. They had not kept it in great numbers in the manner that it is written. So they realized that although God said you've got to keep the Passover on the 1st month, in the 1st month on the 14th day of the month, they realized that actually God is more interested in the spirit of things, and they kept it in the 2nd month. We've got to be careful that we don't think that, yeah, well, we can just do what we want before God and it doesn't matter. As you remember, when David first brought the ark to Zion, he thought he could just ignore what the law of Moses said, that the ark must be carried on the shoulders of the priests. But no, he put it on a new cart, and the oxen stumbled, and the ark nearly fell off. Uzzah put his hand out to steady the ark, and zap, he gets hit by God, and he dies, just to show that God must be honored, and we cannot just lightly say, oh yeah, well, I'll just do what I want. We've got to do what God says in his word.
And there was a soldier who touched the ark.
Well, it could have been a soldier, could have been a guard, could have been someone who meant well, but he was struck dead because he touched the ark. So we can't just think we can do what we want. So the messengers went with letters from the king and his princes all over Israel and Judah, saying, you children of Israel, turn again to Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to the remnant that have escaped of you out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. Don't be like your fathers and like your brothers who sinned against Yahweh, so that he gave them up to destruction as you now see. Don't be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to Yahweh and enter into his sanctuary. So don't be stiff-necked, but yield yourselves. So be soft before God. Don't be hard and proud and refuse to be humble. See, God values humility more than anything else. And he says, don't make your neck stiff, but rather yield, rather be soft towards him. For if you turn again to Yahweh, your brothers and your children will find compassion before those who led them captive and shall come again into this land. So if they had been soft before God and had been repentant, then their brothers who'd been taken captive would have come back. So by our repentance, we can help other people. God has arranged it like that so that we learn love, so that we realize that I can really affect somebody else. So the messengers went from city to city. They even went up to Zebulun, but they were ridiculed and despised. People saying, huh, we don't want to come to Jerusalem to keep Passover to Yahweh. But some men from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So it's always only a minority, only a few who are really humble. But it's that humility that God seeks. Also on Judah came the hand of God to give them one heart. So you see, God can give you a heart. He can give you a way of thinking. He can give you a heart to serve him if that's what you want. God gave them one heart to do the commandment of the king by the word of Yahweh. It's not just that we've got the Bible, believe it and obey it or perish. God wants us to believe. He wants us to be obedient, and he can give you a heart, a mind that wants to love him if you want. Many people assembled at Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month. You remember, they're supposed to keep it in the first month, but God allowed them to do it in the second month. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense they took away and threw them into the brook Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought burnt offerings into the house of Yahweh. They stood in their place after their order, according to the law of Moses, the man of God, and the priests sprinkled the blood which they received from the Levites. There were many in the assembly who had not sanctified themselves, had not made themselves holy. Therefore the Levites were in charge of killing the Passovers for everyone who wasn't clean. For many of the people, many from Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, that's those from the 10 tribes, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover otherwise than it is written. For Hezekiah had prayed for them, saying, "May the good Yahweh pardon every one of you." So then, the Passover is a bit like the breaking of bread when we take the bread and wine. We may worry that, oh, I'm not holy enough to do that. Well, these people weren't either, but Hezekiah prayed for them. And they ate the Passover otherwise than it is written. So God wants to fellowship with you. God wants you with him. And he's eager for that. And so he's eager to overlook our failings. May the good Yahweh pardon everyone, Hezekiah prays, who sets his heart to seek God, even if they aren't clean according to the purification of the sanctuary. Yahweh listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. So then, it's a case of whether you've set your heart to seek God. That's what's important. And your heart is your mind. It's what you think about that is most important. That's what God looks at all the way through. The children of Israel who were at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and priests praised Yahweh day by day, singing with loud instruments to Yahweh. So they kept these feasts with great gladness. So that the only true joy in life is from doing what God really wants you to do. Hezekiah spoke to the heart of all the Levites who had good understanding in the service of Yahweh. So they ate throughout the feast for the 7 days, offering sacrifices of peace offerings, making confession to Yahweh. So by confessing your sins and believing you're forgiven, there is great joy. And the whole assembly decided to keep another 7 days, and they kept another 7 days with joy. Well, again, the law of Moses said you've got to keep it just for 7 days. They said, we want to do more than that. Okay, that's how we should be, not thinking, oh, what's the minimum I can do? What do I have to do to please God? No, that's not the attitude. Got to do it for 7 days? Okay, let's do it another 7 days. Hezekiah, king of Judah, gave to the assembly for offerings 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave them 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep. All the assembly of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and the foreigners who came out of the land of Israel and who lived in Judah, rejoiced. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, there was not the like in Jerusalem. So again, it's joy. The only true joy is from going God's way. There's no other real lasting joy in anything else. Then the priests and Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy habitation, even to heaven. So when you pray, your little words, my little words, go all the way up, even to heaven, even to where God is. And God is so far away from us. And it's amazing to think that a man standing at a bus stop praying to God can be heard up in heaven.
Like your
aeroplane
going up to God.
That's right. It's like our words upon an aeroplane that goes all the way up to God. But it's so far where God lives. God doesn't live up in the sky. He lives like a huge distance away from us that's not even possible to calculate, really. And you look up at the stars and you think, wow, they're so high, they're so far, but God is way beyond that. You look at pictures, drawings maybe, of the solar system and the planets and where they all are. God is way beyond all that. But our little prayers, our words, go all the way up to heaven. And it's even more powerful now because Jesus is there in heaven And he is mediating, he's putting our prayers before God and encouraging God, as it were, to listen to them. It's amazing.